Welcome to Timeless Truths. Timeless Truths is a ministry of the Kitchener Baptist Church in Kitchener, Ontario, and features the preaching and teaching of Pastor Jerry Burns. Our prayer, as always, is that this program will be a blessing to you and that you will find God's hope and help for your life. So join us now as we discover God in His timeless truths.
Give you a quick recap of last Wednesday. Last Wednesday, we looked at the word shepherd, and we looked at the fact that it primarily means to feed. And when the Lord Jesus condemns the shepherds that he sent to Jerusalem, one of the reasons why they were condemned was because the fact that these false shepherds neglected the flock, and they they fed themselves, but not the sheep. And the Bible teaches us throughout the Old Testament that the Lord has given shepherds in the Old Testament to guide and direct. Sometimes this was a political leader, and sometimes this was a prophet, but God gave shepherds to direct and to guide. We looked at the fact that God gives a pastor, God gives a shepherd to a church in the New Testament. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 and 12, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. And I want us to think of that word, he gave some, which is very clear that it was God initiating and giving to the church these men. Also, we need to understand that when God gave shepherds in the Old Testament, the Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 14, and I will give you pastors according to mine heart. It was God's desire to give these shepherds to God's to his people, which shall feed you. There were two fundamental problems, two vital problems when God gave these shepherds to his people. There were two problems. First of all, the first problem was that the shepherds weren't listened to. People just did their own thing and followed their own pathway, even though God said, I will give you these shepherds to feed you and guide you and to direct you. The people did their own thing. The second problem was that these shepherds became corrupt and followed after their own gain. Now, throughout the New Testament, we look at the shepherd, the under-shepherd. We know that the Lord is our shepherd, and God gives us an under-shepherd to the church. They are stewards of God. And the Bible makes it clear in two passages of Scripture in the New Testament I'm looking at that God gave these men to be an overseer and to take the oversight thereof of the local assembly. And they are to rule well. They are to be counted with double honor, especially those that labor in the word and in doctrine. Three words describe one office. And that is a pastor is a shepherd, and then a bishop, which means to oversee or to take oversight, and then there is the elder or the presbytery, which is the one with wisdom and experience. We know all wisdom comes from God, and God is the giver of wisdom to those that fear him. So we jumped into chapter 1, verse 1, and we start looking at this chapter in verse 1. We saw, first of all, last week, and this is kind of where we ended, that the pastor begins with a God-given desire. And the Bible says this is a true saying. So right away we see that this is something that should never be doubted. This is from God, that if a man desire the office of a bishop, the overseer, he desires a good work. And so right away we see that this is a God-given desire. I looked at Psalm 37, verse 4. The Bible says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. And so, as we delight ourselves in the Lord, God gives us these desires. And some a man who is delighting himself in the Lord and asking God to direct his steps, God puts this desire in his heart to pastor, and whether he's an 18-year-old young man, or whether he's a 70-year-old man, God puts that desire in his heart to do that. And so this is a God-given desire. I talked about the how and why we should delight ourselves in the Lord. First of all, how do we delight ourselves in the Lord? It is by seeking God first. Matthew 6:33, the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things, the needs of our life, will be added to you. So his kingdom speaks of the eternal. So seek first the eternal, not the here and now, the sweet by and by. So seek first the eternal, and then his righteousness speaks of our sanctification. So the how do we delight ourselves in the Lord? Seek first the kingdom of God. The why should you seek first the kingdom of God is because 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 teaches us that the lust of this world or the desires of this world is going to pass away. So you have a bucket full of golf balls, and you have two decisions of which to place those golf balls. You can put all of the golf balls in one bucket, and all of those will be thrown into the sea, or you can put all of your golf balls in another bucket, and that will be
lasting forever. And this, as I say it, is a terrible illustration, but you get the idea. God wants us to have his desire, because the Bible teaches us that he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So if we can align our desire with God's desire, then that's how we have an eternal work, is what I'm trying to say. And so the Bible says, listen, if a man desires the office of a bishop, he desires, now remember, this is a God-given desire. Number two, I want us to think about this. Not only is it a God-given desire, but it is a good work. It is a good work. Let's read it together if we could. 1 Timothy chapter number 3 and verse number 1. The Bible says, this is a true saying, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy, a filthy lucre, not patient, not a brawler, not covetous, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being lifted up in pride he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. Let's pray. Father, help us, I pray, as we look at, I pray you would help us to, as we look at your truths, and I pray you would give us understanding and direction for our lives. Lord, we know that this is your standard for your man within your church. And so, Father, this is a high standard that all of us ought to look to, and all of us should desire to have as a part of our life. And so, Father, I pray that you would help us all in our lives to take the high road. And Lord, I pray that your blessing would be upon our time together here tonight. And again, we thank you for this time we have. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. So we looked at the fact that the pastorate is a God-given desire. But also, we see from this passage of Scripture that it is also a good work. Now, the thought here in this Scripture in chapter 3, it says, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. Oftentimes in the Bible, the Christian life is described as a what? Just call it out. A race. Absolutely. Any other answers? What else is the Christian life compared to? A battle. Exactly, a battle. A race, a battle. A competition. They that run in the race run all. The Bible says, but one receiveth the prize. So run that ye may obtain. God doesn't want us to get second place or third place. God wants us to do our very best in the Christian life. And the Bible is also compared to as a battle, as a fight. And several times in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul speaks of this fight. He said, fight the good fight of faith. He says, I have fought a good fight. Now, I got to be honest, oftentimes when I would read that passage of Scripture, I would think of Paul saying of his own life, you know what, I did pretty good. I fought a good fight. I did well in this battle. But that's not what Paul's talking about. Paul is not patting himself on the back saying, I've done well in the Christian life, but he's describing the battle in which he's engaged in. He says, I fight in a good fight. And I want us to understand that the Christian life is a good fight. And we talk about that idea to be in a good fight or to be engaged in a battle. By the way, you are a part of a battle, whether you're fighting or not. You are in a spiritual battle as a Christian. You are in a good fight. In other words, the Bible says it is worth our stewardship. It is worth our dedication. It is worth our time, it is worth our effort, because this fight has eternal benefits. Now, we don't have the privilege or opportunity to be able to see the end of everything. But we know that God is already in the end. Can you imagine that? God is already in tomorrow, but God inhabits eternity. So God is already at the end of time. In other words, there will come a time in your life when you will say goodbye to this old world and you will take your last breath. Now think about this for a moment. God is in that moment right now. God is in that moment. The Bible teaches us that we are already, as far as God is concerned, we are already seated in heavenly places. I mean, our place is already secure with God because God is an eternal God. And God is teaching us in this passage of Scripture that the Christian life, the battle that we call the Christian life, this fight is good. It is honorable. It is worth your effort because of the eternal benefit that it brings. Now, the Bible teaches us that Christ is the head of the church. You would agree with that, right? Your doctrine is that correct, right? Christ is the head of the church. And the Bible says that Christ has placed within his church a shepherd, an under-shepherd, a pastor, to oversee this ministry. And God has made him a steward of the ministry. What it means is that one day, every man of God who oversees the Lord's church is going to stand before God and give an account. Now, I was telling someone on Sunday, I'm going to stand before God and give an account of my own life. I'm going to stand before God and give an account of my family. I'm going to stand before God and give an account of this church. Pray for me. Pray for me. The Bible teaches us in this passage of Scripture that this is an honorable work. Now, the Bible does not say that ministry is easy. The Bible teaches us that ministry is honorable and it's worth the battle. I want you to turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. What I'm about to say is not what I feel within this church, but what I believe a lot of pastors have felt over years of ministry. And I want to be very transparent with you as I go through this message to try to help us to understand, first of all, how a man of God thinks, but also to help us understand what the Bible teaches in the Scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 22, let me just quickly give you the context. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians, and he corrects the church at Corinth. And they were a messy church. I mean, they were carnal. And Paul let them know in the third chapter, he says, listen, I want to write to you as fathers in the faith, but I can't because you're carnal. He says there's divisions everywhere. You're lifting up men. You don't have a focus on eternal things. You're just carnal Christians. And he writes to them that because, let me say this. He writes to them this letter because he loves them and he wants them to do right. Now when we come to 2 Corinthians, the church is attacking Paul. And they're saying things like, Paul, you have no right to tell us what to do. Who do you think you are? You're not an apostle. All of those things. And they're attacking the apostle Paul. And really what he's doing is defending his apostleship and the authority that God gave him in establishing that the New Testament church. And so as he's defending this apostleship, I want you to think of the heart and the soul and what he's writing in verse 22. And the Spirit of God allows us to see his man and his heart in this scripture. Verse 22, he says, are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, stripes meaning beatings, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. The thought there is times in Paul's life where from his perspective, he just got away from death. I mean, he was that close of saying goodbye to this old world. By the way, there are no close calls with God. So he says, listen, if you're going to call yourself a servant, if you're going to call yourself a minister of Christ, and I'm more of a minister of Christ, if we're going to play that game, look of all that I face in my life. He says in verse 24, of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day have I been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers. The word perils means danger. So in lost at sea, in perils and dangers of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen. They are those, the heathen would be those who deny God, the Gentiles who deny God and want no part of God. In perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, and in perils among false brethren, those who claimed to be Christians, but they weren't Christians at all. And they caused me great harm and danger, like Alexander the coppersmith, who did me much evil, Paul said. But notice what he says in verse 27, in weariness and painfulness, and watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, times with no food, times that he fasted, fasting here is not the spiritual meaning of fasting, but no control over, in cold and nakedness, beside those things that are without. So these are all apart from within the church. I grew up in a small town in Nova Scotia. We had probably about, in the heyday of our church ministry, probably about 50 people. And you think, 50 people is pretty good. There were only 100 people in the town. We had 50% of the population in our church. Can you imagine if we had 50% of the population in Kitchener? I mean, it was a thriving ministry. I was there for 18 years. And over 18 years, we saw five pastors come and go. Five pastors. I saw five pastors come and go at our church. And I can tell you beyond a shadow of a doubt that the problem was never from without. It was always within. Pastors don't leave churches because of problems without. It's because of problems within. And you know what? Pastors have problems without. I mean, our buses have been shot at with BB guns. I wouldn't think that that was a saved person that did that. I remember when I was, I first became pastor, and I maybe was a pastor for a year. And there was a man that started coming, and maybe you remember this. There was a man that started coming to the church, him and his mother and two young boys. And they were faithfully coming to the church Sunday morning, Sunday night. And they were sweet people. They were kind. They were gentle. After every service, they were super nice. They would always come, and the kids would line up. And they would be very expressive to thank me for the sermon and how it changed their lives and how wonderful that it was. And, I was just thankful to the Lord that, my first year pastoring, this couple was coming, and I was excited to try to help them and be a blessing to them. As the days went on, the gentleman, the man, came to my office, and he had a tape with him. And he said, "Pastor, I wonder if you could do me a favor." I said, "Well, that depends on what the favor is." He says, "I have a tape of a recording, and I'm wondering if you could listen to it and sign this paper." And I thought about it for a moment, and I said, "Well, I'm not going to sign anything. The Bible teaches me that, with a multitude of counselors, there's safety, and I'm going to get some counsel on that." And so I took the information, and I talked to some people. It comes to find out that the man, the only reason why he was coming to the church was because he was, he was being kind, he was being nice, but what he was trying to do is come to that moment where he could ask me to sign this affidavit that basically stated something about his ex-wife and his children. And all he wanted me to do And that was his entire motivation from the very beginning. The only reason why he came is he thought that maybe because I was a young pastor or whatever, this guy will sign this paper and I'll get my way. Boy, was he mad when I told him I wouldn't sign the paper. And boy, was I discouraged after. You know, the devil knows how to discourage the preachers. The Bible says here, and this is often because it says in verse 28, beside those things which are without, the structure.
We're glad that you joined us for this week's program. Timeless Truths is a ministry of Kitchener Baptist Church in Kitchener, Ontario. We are a refreshingly conservative Baptist church that stands on the preaching and power of the Word of God. We would love for you to worship the Lord with us. We meet on Sundays at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. and on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. for our midweek Bible study. If you would like to send your prayer request to Timeless Truths, we would love to pray for you and with you. You can email your request to prayer@kitchenerbaptist.org, or you can reach us by mail at Timeless Truths Radio Ministry, 1720 Glasgow Street, Kitchener, Ontario, N2N0A7. Once again, that is 1720 Glasgow Street, Kitchener, Ontario, N2N0A7. If you have been helped by this ministry, we would love to hear your story. Call us at 519-579-2236 or connect with us through our website at timelesstruths.ca. There you will find beneficial resources and hear more helpful messages from Pastor Jerry Burns. We hope that today's program has encouraged you. Pastor Burns has served at Kitchener Baptist Church for almost 10 years. If he can be of any spiritual help to you or your family, please let him know. Thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time when we open the Bible and discover God in His timeless truths.
It's Pastor Jerry Burns, and again, I want to thank you for tuning into our program this Lord's Day. Our society is in a crisis. The Bible teaches us that it is God's Word that will make a difference in our lives, and yet our churches today have turned away from the Bible. The Bible has been replaced with entertainment, and we have left, thus saith the Lord. I want to invite you to a church that still preaches the Bible. At Kitchener Baptist Church, we'll have a time of singing, and then we'll open the Word of God, and we'll see what God is thinking about. We'll see what God cares about. We'll see what God has to say to us. I hope you'll join us this morning at 10:30 at Kitchener Baptist Church. God bless you.